D&D Dungeon Academy, No Humans Allowed, written by Madeline Rook, illustrated by Tim Probert. Chapter 10. The plan had worked, and Zelly silently congratulated herself on at least getting them safely inside the cave. No small feat when risen skeletal sentinels stood vigilantly watching. Though she kept her eyes forward, she glimpsed that some were obviously adventurers who had met their misfortune in the cave, wearing loose travelers' garments and satchels with robes, skulls cracked from an unlikely and unlucky fall. And she could see why the cave itself reminded her of a honeycomb, a web of thin, interconnected bridges, a perilous, precarious terrain to navigate even for the most careful adventurer. Hugo, with his huge and somewhat clumsy feet, nearly slipped as they crossed the very first bridge, a cascade of pebbles shimmering down into the unseen depths.
"It's just like the path down to the dungeon's classrooms," she murmured out of the corner of her lips. "Keep steady and don't look down."
But Zelly didn't quite keep her own advice. Glancing at the stomach-churning drop just inches to her right and left, torches blazed along the trail, some held by skeletons, others sticking out of ancient rusting scones. The wet smell was chased away by the stench of whatever noxious fuel burned in the torches, while occasional bursts of violet light surged up from well below their feet. A flimsy glistening pattern clung to the ceiling, the high corners of the cave packed with what looked like pitted, bulging spider eggs. The skittering, chittering chatter coming softly from everywhere and nowhere told her there was more than just skeletons and necromancers present, and she wondered how many of those dead adventurers had met a sticky, cocooned end. The cave bridges disappeared into shadowy corridors while their path led ever downward, the temperature dropping precipitously as the wound their way deep inside. After a while, Zelly began to notice that the skeletal sentinels were no longer present, concentrated at the cave mouth, no doubt to their guard against folks like them coming to rescue the villagers and monsters. She hazarded a quick glance in every direction, finding they were no longer being watched. Well, not by any magical skeletons, at least.
"Hey," she whispered. "Hey!"
Hugo slowed down, then took Snobbler by the shoulder. Fresh and Bobble peered out from the satchel on Hugo's back, the little hound's tongue and tail wagging with anarchic glee.
"Look,"
she whispered, pointing to a fork in the stone bridges up ahead.
"The skeletons are all behind us, and I think we can find a faster way down."
The villagers and monsters were walking at the plodding speed, but if she and her friends arrived last, then it might be too late to stop whatever mischief was going on below. Zelly carefully inched her way across and around Hugo and Snabler, choosing wisely not to look down, then dashed to the left, taking a short jump onto a separate narrow stone outcropping that then dipped down, running parallel to and then scooping under the bridge holding the villagers.
"Careful, Hugo!"
she called.
"I don't know how strong these stones are."
Snabla tossed himself across the divide recklessly, landing in a scaly heap beside her. The blink dog teleported across the gap, settling on the other side of Zelly's back. They all watched as Hugo swung his arms back and forth a dozen times, working up the courage and momentum to take the jump. Backing up, Zelly and Snabler watched as he grunted and leapt, a brief victory expression wiped clean by the unmistakable sound of stone splintering beneath their weight.
Hurry! Slide down! Zelly grabbed Flash and clutched the fuzzy thing to her chest, blindly throwing herself down the steep, smooth stone which carried her in a curved path to the right through a thin, disgusting gauze of spiderwebs to a wider, safer landing cluttered with seething eggs. Zelly stood up just in time to feel Snabla, Hugo, and Bobble and Hugo's bag slam into her legs from behind. They toppled to a stop in a heap, Flash helpfully blinking out of existence before popping herself onto Hugo's head. The wiggly cherry on top of a slimy sundae. Yanking herself free of the others, Zelly climbed to her feet and wiped at the spider's silk cave, muck covering her mail and jerkin.
"Don't disturb the eggs,"
came Bobble's choked, frightened voice from inside Hugo's pack.
"If I'm right, those are sword spider clutches. We don't want to tangle with those. I mean, it's right there, in the name. They might be furry and striped, but those sharp ridges on their legs are deadly. And their bite is venomous, too. Just one drop of that venom would be enough to kill any of us." "Nasty!"
Snabla stuck out his tongue and backed away quietly from the nearest cluster of gooey, pulsing egg sacs. A shiver scraped down Zelly's spine, and she hurried to the edge of the platform, desperate for a way to move on.
"It looks like someone copped together a rope crossing," she said, squinting into the gloom now that they were away from the skeletons and torches. "There! I see a rope on the other side, but it's too much, too far to reach."
"Might be you're throwing yourself into a bridge,"
Hugo asked Bobble. The book in his pack sighed.
"Not one that big. I'm only 12.
Before they could hurl more suggestions at Bobble, Flash stirred on Hugo's head, giving a small, curious yip before vanishing. She appeared on the other side of the gap, wagging her tail and staring at them, head cocked to the side curiously.
"Yes!" Zelly's shout whispered. "Good girl! Get the rope! Free the rope for us!"
She mimicked the clutching the rope with both hands, then swinging, then doing the same with her leg.
Swoosh!
Her leg was hooked around the rope, too. Hugo and Snabla did the same, pointing and gesturing and whispering feverishly while the dog simply wagged her tail faster and faster.
"She thinks this is hilarious," Hugo sighed.
"She's not wrong,"
Zelly replied. The dog finally seemed to notice the tattered end of the rope dangling not half a foot from her snout. Delightedly, she lugged for the end of it, then began tugging at it and growling, playing her own kind of game with it.
"Brilliant!" Hugo muttered. "Now what?"
"Give her a moment,"
said Bobble, pulling themselves further outside of Hugo's bag.
"We do not have a moment," he reminded them. "The fate of her classmates is at stake. Who knows what these necromancers intend to do?"
At last, Flash let go of the rope, and it swung out across the gap, not with any great speed, but enough for Zelly to scramble to the edge and catch it, nearly plummeting into the pit. Hugo and Snabla each grabbed an ankle, hoisting her away from certain doom.
"Thanks,"
she said, exhaling on a yelp. Then she pulled herself up on the rope, prepared to swing.
"What matters is we got there, eventually."
One by one, two by one, in Hugo and Bobble's case, they swung across the divide, regrouping on the other side.
The ledge elongated into another narrow bridge, carrying them steeply downward. Again, the walls and ground slick with moisture, the presence of spiderwebs and eggs lessening as it became colder, and evidence of adventurers past became more prevalent. Snabler rushed forward to trip and disarm what appeared to be a rudimentary trap, probably left to protect against the spiders.
Ha!
Bobble laughed as the kobold fussed with the old spike trap.
That looks just like my retainer. Gross,
sniffed the kobold, poking out his tongue. They found evidence of an old campfire, too, and mostly disintegrated bedroll. A few coins, blood-dyed, were scattered near the camp. It didn't hold their attention for long. They had traveled deep enough into the cave to discover where that long, long line of adventurers and monsters was going. A bright, persistent purple light shone from the precipice up ahead. They huddled at its edge, Flash now safely back in Hugo's bag, with Bobble sneaking in a happy puppy lick here or there, much to Bobble's chagrin.
Stop,
Boggle would grouse.
You make my pages curl.
The bridge holding the villagers wound in a lazy spiral until at last it ended at the very bottom of the cave. There, the darkness and gloom was banished by the glow of a towering portal, its oval surface like the perfect unrippled glass of a mirror, though the color of wolfsbane. A dozen or so skeletons stood guarding the contraption, their skulls as blank as the faces of those forced into entering the portal. Through this magical gateway, the villagers disappeared one by one, stepping into the unknown, each teleported body making a hushed, warped sound, whoop, like the zip of a bee caroming past one's ear.
Vroom.
Vroom.
Zoom!
Where are they going? Hugo gasped, covering his beak with both hands.
Did you hear that?
Zelie asked, ignoring him, for she did not have the answer, nor was she keen to speculate.
It sounds like...
a battle. It could be our
classmates. At last!
Snabler scrambled away along the edge closest to the portal on the flat floor of the cave below. The others hurried after him, passing under the narrow bridge where the villagers and the monsters shuffled along. As they reached the outcropping and the remains of another camp, the commotion became clearer to raised voices, two contenders locked in battle.
They are not their peers. That is a human, Hugo whispered excitedly.
And a necromancer,
Bobble added with decidedly less enthusiasm. They were both correct. Below a stone's throw from where the portal glistened and buzzed, a tall, gaunt figure in ruined, embroidered black robes lifted a staff high, a shock of pale green light bursting forth from it. The human he fought dodged out of the way, low to the ground, a hefty, double-handed sword at the ready, her cloak flashing around her as one of the necromancer's skeletons lurched toward her, scattered to the dust by the force of her sword.
It's not just a human,
Zelie whispered, looking at the illustration from her test book coming to life.
It's a steel strike.
And that concludes Chapter 10 of D&D Dungeons Academy No Humans Allowed, written by Madeline Rue, illustrated by Tim Probert, Hayden Publishing.